All right, it's November. It is a massive time for the Boca. Four big test matches in a row, one Saturday after the other. I'm here at Benchwarmers, a great place to watch those matches. But more importantly, I'm here with Flip van der Merwe, who's going to tell us more about these amazing games.
How's it been?
How's it,
Flip? Can you?
It's like so weird. You're just here. You know, you live in France?
Yeah, just sitting at a bar.
Flip, it has been a while. Haven't seen you for so long. France is now home to you, but you're still very much South African through and through, obviously.
Yeah, I'm as South African as it gets. I just happen to live in France.
Do you ever get mistaken for an overgrown Anton Dupont?
Never. No. The accent still sells me down the road. Otherwise, could be.
Okay, so like I said, this week is the start of an incredible time of Boc rugby, four test matches in a row. You have been in a Boc setup. You've obviously supported Boc teams over the years. You're what? You're 40 now, have?
I'm 40, yeah. I'm a dust. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a decent time reference to look at Boc teams. Now, we know this Boc team is special. In your mind, what makes it so incredibly special?
It's a good question, Ben. I think, you know, we've almost seen this team grow from the depths of despair in 2018 to where we are today, double world champions. And I think what makes this team so special is the almost the worldliness. It's not only experience, you know, they've managed to get that decentralized mix where, you know, they come from Japan, they play in the UK, they play wherever, and when they get together, they're just so experienced that, you know, whenever a young guy comes in, they're just absorbed and able to be so good. I really think, you know, being able to, in any situation, have a squad of 50 odd players that can at any time play, you know, it's the best situation a coach and a country can ask for.
And I mean, as average guys who sit at bars like this on the weekend, there's certain things that we pick up and that we get really excited about. Is this forward pack really as great as everyone says? I mean, we all want to know that it's the best scrum, we've got the best front row. Is this a major cornerstone of why this team is so good?
I do think so. I think what they've created with this 50-odd squad is a real competition. I think you can definitely see on the field the way they're working hard. There's a lot less cockiness around, a lot more just show up and work, you know. I think Don is working on his farm, etc. We've seen the videos. I think our forward pack is pretty much as good as it gets, eh?
So, and I don't want to incriminate anybody, but in your day, was it more like there's the incumbents and then there's the lighties and then you guys can maybe hopefully get there when there's an injury?
Yeah, well, definitely. My day, don't want to sound that old, say my days, but when we played, there was about, you know, 23, 25 that made the Springboks, and those were the guys that played the 12 tests a year. There's obviously a lot more resources available. They're going about it a lot more intelligent. These alignment meetings and squads and whatnot they have actually allows Russie to sift through some talent. So we're seeing, you know, we're being asked in questions about why a guy like Russ is not playing, you know. So there must be something there during those alignment camps that don't align, you know, that makes, you know, get the bad apples out. So I think they just, you know, they're privileged to have such a big pool of talent.
More important question, out of all the beers to choose from here, you chose Castle Lager. Is that nostalgic or is that...
It's still my favorite beer. I've been a few places in the world, you know, and I like a crisp lager. Yeah, Castle Lager is my go-to.
Okay, so we all know the big one first up is the game against France. There's four matches. There's two in particular I want to take on with you, for obvious reasons, the two strongest ones.
Yeah.
This French team, if you look at them in the last World Cup, people said that this was a great team, kind of where the Bocs were in 2019. They weren't maybe necessarily going to win, but they're on the up and up, and they're getting stronger all the time. Now, we've heard about teams hitting their primes. We've heard about Ireland hitting their primes for that golden era, never kicked on. Do you feel that this French team is probably the most dangerous team the Bocs can play right now?
Definitely. They've shown an interesting dynamic in their summer tour when they went over to New Zealand by choosing the bench warmers to go play over there and actually surprising New Zealand, who might have, you know, who were also a new team forming and finding their own feet. France as a country is incredibly, incredibly talented with a lot of good players in there. And they've changed the ruling about how many foreigners allowed to play in the French team. So you're seeing a lot of less South Africans actually playing in France at the moment. And that's why, you know, they have these good, talented people.
Oh, right. Like in the franchise teams.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Like the normal teams. They've got a very good academy system. You see the under 20 team is constantly in the finals again.
Yeah.
And rugby is professional. It's privately owned. It's almost like football, you know. You get the presidents that's big shot company guys that, you know, want to swing around in the bars and the lodges with the corporate clients, you know. So it's a proper professional setup and it's cutthroat. So and these guys are growing. The French team's definitely as good as it gets now.
Okay, so if you look at a team like the Box, you know the attributes, right? Now, the French, a couple of questions here. Can they match up the physicality? Are they able to sort of adapt as like, you know, dealing with a bomb squad sort of setup?
Yeah.
And final question on that little quick fire mix. Has Dupont's injury / form, all those kind of things, been a factor to care about as he's returned in the last 6 months?
Yeah. I'll start with the Dupont factor. I think the Dupont factor bothered them a lot. You know, it was like sort of a weird combination. In the World Cup, we all publicly saw what had happened to them. When Napoleon went away on his boat, it all crumbled.
Yeah.
And he probably cost them the quarterfinal when they went on and playing him, and he wasn't fit. And then, you know, he's a superstar. He hangs around with supermodels and, you know,
these are all things you can say here, but not there.
Right? Yeah, wears Louis Vuitton and things. And then, you know, he rocks up at Toulouse at a game, and he's not dressed the same as the rest of the team. So, you know, what is equal? It creates a random dynamic, you know, always.
I had no idea.
Yeah, but also then Toulouse starts off the season having a couple of losses, then all of a sudden you see even him, you know, rugby has that great way of bringing everyone back equal again.
Sure.
So you can see there's, you know, that cultural aspect of the thing the French are sort of getting, which they never got, you know. It was just, you know, passed to the best guy. They always had a Philippe Tillard or Damien Penaud or Antoine Dupont, you know, it was just going to run through everyone. There's a lot more structure, a lot more cultural work and headspace work. Bomb squad, I'll counter with, I don't think it's such a big thing anymore. I think the Box have sort of shot themselves in the foot. You know, it's more an addition as to like a trigger. You can see definitely they try and be the first 20 minutes, they try and bomb another team out of the ground with the dynamic, the guy like, you know, Sasha in there and the young fellas coming in up front. They're just trying to run over a team in the first 20 minutes and then make them catch up. So I still don't think talent-wise out of a game day 23, any team in the world can match us. We've just too many. And then physically, French got big guys.
But do they have the heart, though? Because, you know, like size is one.
Yeah.
How they assert that, though?
Yeah, they... it's not, you know, they're a bit soft belly, you know, croissants and all those kind of things, you know. They haven't been to Dance Farm again, you know. So I don't think they'll match up in an 80-minute contest, but you have the Mouafas and those guys that are, you know, 150 kgs, difficult to stop, you know, in a one-on-one contact.
Okay, to put you on the spot a little bit here. So devastation that Oxenchair went down in that match against Japan. So he's obviously amazing. Yes, there is replacements, you know. Carol Stelikow's come back from injury.
Yeah.
Brian Fenton's going to cover there as well from him. How big of a blow, if you consider any player going down against the French, how big of a blow is Ox in the greater scheme of things?
It's massive. I don't know how he could hurt a knee. I didn't know he knew he had knees.
Yeah, me too.
It's just like a straight thing, you know. And that said, I think, you know, players... You know, where do you put your head when he scrums against you? There's no space in that thing, and he's, you know, his name is Ox, you know, so he destroys scrums. Gareth Steenkamp, I don't know if you've seen him in real life. It's a man mountain.
Isn't he like 1.93?
Yeah, he's like proper old school.
How tall are you?
Farm student. Like 8'8".
Got that 8. Yeah. I'm 1'8". I don't know the concept of.
But he's like old school farm strength, you know, almost like a Carl Heyman, New Zealand type of dynamic player, can really get around the park, but also very prominent in the scrum. On Loftus, that test against Ireland, I don't know if you remember, and he came on and he just devoured, went straight
to
him. Exactly. So really happy for him to get in there and get some more game time. Same with Juan Fenter. There must be something, you know, Rusty finds these guys and has a hand on them, and then when they get to play, you just see that why they are there. Very good. Especially what I like to see, and it might have to be good, is the young Stormers fella they picked that started this weekend, and now I can't save my life to remember his name. Also a big fella.
Zachary Porter.
Yeah.
Went to Wyoming Boys High School.
Okay. But he's a very good dynamic prop. So you can definitely see there's like a change of mindset as to who they want to go to. And hey, we need to lead these young guys. With Jan Hendrik Wessels not being in there, I think it's leaving a big gap of a guy that can cover a lot of positions. So the young guys getting the opportunity now on a world stage to put their hands up.
Final thing on the French game. I don't know if this is by design, like adding the Japan game so that CA can get 100 tests for that. Do you feel, we all know professional rugby, the top level of the sport, everyone's good, but there's those one little percenters here and there that makes absolutely exceptional. We saw in John Smith's captain the box in his 100th test. It was a big emotional moment. He puts it down as one of his worst rugby experiences ever. They lost to the All Blacks, FNB Stadium. Do you feel like there's almost too much emotion that happens when something like it happens, or is that something that, because of Sears' nature, it'll fire the team up more?
You have to back Sears that will fire up. We saw him against, you know, a poorly filled Wembley Stadium, and he was just in there singing and living his heart out, you know, lives with his heart on his sleeve. It will be a shame that it's in Paris, you know, not in front of his home crowd, say, you know, in BE or wherever, or the Stormers or wherever. The French will probably still boo South Africa when they run out. It will be as good motivation for Sia as any. Hopefully there's a lot of South Africans in the crowd to cheer him on.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a legend.
All right, French one's a big one. The other one that is huge, I want the box to win both of these desperately because I just want the bragging rights. But the other one, the big one, is the Irish test. In recent years, Ireland probably feel like they've become major rivals of the box. It's never going to be on the same level as New Zealand ever.
Yeah.
But like, what's your feeling around this? Is this Irish team, have they peaked and we're now in like a sort of next stage? Or are they still as strong as maybe we fear they could be?
The Irish situation is a funny one, as they sort of like struggle to move on, bleed new talent, and we see much of the sameness and see basically a Leinster team copy-paste, playing every weekend, and we saw them struggling to play Casey and then kept with Prendergast as well. And finally they gave him a game this weekend, and then he goes on and screws it up a little bit basically.
Against the All Blacks.
Yeah, against the All Blacks, because he probably don't have confidence. People around him don't know how to play with him, etc. It's a peculiar situation where they almost feel like it was a lot more player-led, and maybe Andy Farrell didn't coach it much. He was more like a manager. And now that going to a new phase with all senior players, Sexton, etc., having retired, you actually have to coach a little bit more, bring more young guys in, and we're not seeing it. They're trying to sort of just capitalize on a good name. That said, there's still incredible talent in there. Kaden Nadoris played again this weekend after a long injury, and he'll be rearing to go as a world-class player. Is it going to be enough? Come 22 November, it's a long time away still. Box will be on tour. There will obviously be another injury or two. Touch wood. No one important. playing in at the Aviva will always be difficult with the conditions changing, etc. So it will be a very equal matchup.
So the whole thing about the Northern Hemisphere test that people, again, talk a lot about other conditions. So like, how much of a difference is it really? I mean, obviously a stupid question. It's going to be colder.
Yeah.
The players are going to be slightly heavier and the crowd hates you.
Exactly.
But like outside of that, like what are the major factors that goes into it? Is it like hard to prep during the week? Like what are the things that come into it?
Yeah, it's just basically, we all know you need a little bit of vitamin D. There's, sun rises at 10 and sets at 4. It gets you a little bit in sort of a depressive mood. The players are mentally a little bit tired because it's end of the year. And they, you know, they've tried to change that, say autumn test, and the drop in temperature between the first test they played now against Japan until the last one they'll play, you know, will be probably 10 degrees. It changes quite a lot, quite fast. So it is, it's just, you know, a little bit difficult for the body, you know, the older guys, the athletes, etc., with a little bit of bruiser bumps. You know, you have to get take a little bit longer to warm up.
It's difficult.
You know, so it plays a little bit of a mental challenge that's not normally there when you play at home and you sleep in your bed and not in a hotel and live out of a suitcase.
It's not something you get used to, basically, is what I'm going with that, because the URC guys go there, they play those games, but you never really get used to, like,
No. So, exactly. So, it's not the worst part, you know, they're going in January, Feb when they play, and that's horrible. But, you know, it's just a little extra. And then team dynamics, normally week three is, like, the most difficult week for the guys being together. I do think they're a very focused team, and they try to put that aside. There will be a lot of media work. We know that. You know, the Irish will try and get something in there. We're lucky not to play the English this time around, you know, just to keep stuff positive. But it's a different dynamic. But I think the box are pretty well suited to perform in any condition these days.
When it comes to media and those kind of things, we know the British, the Great Britain, those people, the press are just a little bit more shitty in many ways. As a player in like a week, like, are you able to block out from that, or is it quite unavoidable what they throw at you?
The European press is quite interesting in that sense. To, you know, they still think they own rugby. You know, so whatever they say is law, and you know, South Africa is just another country there at the bottom. You know, so we don't have the right to say anything. So you will see, even in the face-to-face, it's not only a journalistic press. It's like literally they will ask questions. It's quite, you know, try and trigger, etc. But you know, as rugby players, we just do our best, 110%, make it rain.
Is that a strategy here?
Just play dumb. It works.
Can I top that, by the way?
Yeah, that would be great.
You've gone through that quite well, Eckers Walter. Yeah, I guess that is a factor. But like, you know, again, with do I say it again?
Yeah. Please.
Yeah, Walter, apparently you pour a damn good castle lager around here. I mean, obviously, like, the box is so hard and so professional nowadays, they can find ways to almost shelter certain players if the press are kind of going after them. If the guys are going after Rusty does need the help, I guess.
Yeah. So the guys definitely get more media training, and everyone's an influencer in their own right these days, so they know how to handle themselves, to control themselves, and ask the questions that they need asking, and have a certain strategy where they go to. I'm pretty sure the guys in the background still have a sort of line of directory, but you know, the guys are proper pro, and probably these days from 12 years old, you know what to say on media and not to say. So I don't think it will be a problem, but they definitely will try and trigger some events or something happened, and with the Jan-Hendrik Wessels thing will definitely come up.
The old nutgate, huh?
The old nutgate.
You know, just on that, I don't want to make a thing about that because you're talking box, but I find, enough to agree or disagree with me, but I find the Irish are becoming so much less likable than they were maybe 5-6 years ago. Do you think maybe they're just a bit bitter that they haven't won something, and therefore there's like a bit of false bravado they've got to keep throwing out there?
They're trying very hard. Remember, they a couple of years ago, they were very horribly shit, you know? And people will keep forgetting that, and it's only recently that they've, you know, started becoming top five and then top three, and a couple of years number one.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they're trying to fight hard not to go back there, you know, because it's a very slippery slope. You know, we saw what happened to Australia. So there's a little bit of pettiness again, you know, trying to control the controllables and still being a power, and while you're on top, trying to make and change the rules as you can. But the fact that they're not open to the media and we don't actually know what's going on is quite a weird thing, you know, and I'm pretty much everyone that will go to Dublin will agree that the Irish are actually very likable people, just not on the rugby field.
Yeah, just not. Okay, same kind of question that I asked you previously around the French. How do you see the Irish playing out as far as matching box physicality, the intensity for 80 minutes against all 23 players? And ultimately, I mean, do they feel, do you reckon there's going to be enough belief that they can currently take this box team?
The All Black game in Chicago was a big blow for them. I don't think they, you know, bar the red card, and expect to be blown out the last 20 minutes like they were. You know, even the score was a little bit closer, they were very bad in that last, in the second half. You know, showing a proper lack of innovation and physicality against the bigger teams. South Africa coming, you know, up after, you know, three games on the trot already before they get to them. So there might be a little bit more fatigue in there. You know, I think they will get them up. I'd hope to not eat my hat, but I think we can be in for a big win against them actually on the Avivo.
I like that. I'm not even going to second guess you. All right. So the other thing to come for this tour, now that your beer is fresh, there are two other games that are going to take place on this interview tour. And obviously no disrespect to Wales or Italy, but world rankings are world rankings. We've got Italy, I think, are 10th, and then Wales are in the Bermuda Triangle. Is there actually anything past 10th?
Yeah.
What are the Boks going to really gain from here? What do you really see the Boks trying with these matches?
Definitely, I think it's an open secret now that Rossi will try some new combinations. You know, will we see Andre Estes and move into the second row, maybe, you know? he's just moving forward, you know? There's definitely will be some experimentation, giving some guys some more game time that maybe had a little bit more time on the bench this year, or new guys coming in the squad like our mate from the Stormers. The most dangerous part of these games, it's going to be a slippery one. We know Italy club division is pretty good. They've got very good players. I've got much respect for Gonzalo Gosseda, their coach. Will they come up with something, you know, that can bother the Boks like they did with England a couple of years ago? Same for Wales, I've got a very good friend, Cornel van Zyl, that coaches Cardiff at the moment, and all of a sudden they're starting winning. They 4 out of 4 in the URC, so, you know, they have the talent. It's just leading that talent to be quite good, and historically they still have Jack Morgan, etc., playing there. That will be very good, but slippery games if you try combinations, but they should be easy.
So another dynamic with these games, okay, is to say Rossi does play new combinations and those oaks fire and they play well because we know World Cup's coming in. That puts another little slant on like really difficult things on the old guard who maybe won't get to the World Cup, and then these smaller games give opportunities to kind of almost show them up.
Exactly.
Sorry, very, very long question that. But I mean, you see where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
It's going to get to a time where it's crunch point, the guys aren't going to make it 2027.
Yeah. There's two parts to it. Is rugby is very natural in that sense where, you know in the, you know, you're not getting selected anymore. You know, there's no, you don't have to tell tales. You know, you're not as fast as the new guy coming in, yeah, etc. And, you know, mental ability and agility can only go as far. So we might even see in those games getting, you know, older combinations, Faf de Klerk and a Pollard getting a run together, etc. You know, just to keep them fresh. But definitely more towards, you know, building new part and definitely seeing the changing of the old guard, maybe. Horrible to say that, but, you know, yeah, we have to move on.
You don't want to make someone who's given heart and soul, but you know how hard it is to play one test for the Springboks.
Exactly.
You've got guys of major camp. Like, they're not going to be thrown away, but it's a hard game. It's contact, yeah, sports tough.
It's a tough game, and it's a tough game to play when you're a little bit older. And as you say, these guys have given heart and soul and ligaments for this game, and unfortunately that's the nature of the game, and the servants will move on, and there will always be someone new to take over your spot.
And always somebody wanting to.
Yeah.
6 to 7 generations wanting to be in that thing, because when it comes to Boks Saturday, everyone, yeah, around the country looks at those guys wishing they would be there.
Exactly.
So obviously the next 4 weekends, or the whole of November, right here at Benchwarmers, we can be able to watch rugby with us if you really want. Flip, you're going to the French and the Irish game. You're going to be there live. Like, what's watching rugby like for you? Because obviously the old fire must get there when you see the anthems, the guys in the field. But as a spectator, what's it like?
It's very good, you know, living in France, so it's very good, you know, getting around the game time and seeing a lot of South Africans coming together. We had a World Cup game in Bordeaux that felt like Bloom, the guys with Brian Boerewors and selling brandy in the bars. So it's good to see the other South Africans, good to interchange with some in some corporate setups, explaining the nature of the game, you know. So you know, it's test rugby, what's better to watch?
And does a part of you still want to get out there?
No, the guys these days are are much stronger and faster. Definitely not keen to run around, but love watching a game of rugby, and I'm a Boks supporter till I die.
Awesome, man. Well, great catching up with you. Thanks so much for the insights. I'm so excited for a whole month of test rugby. It really is quite a thing.
Exactly.
And hopefully next time you're out, you've got more time for an actual Brian game.
Yeah, game of golf.
Even better.
Even better.
All right, catch us here at Benchwarmers over the season of Bok Rugby. Or if you want to watch Arsenal win the league, obviously it's a really great place to watch as well.